Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Maroon Friday edition of the Yard. Man, it's one more week closer to college football. Aren't we excited about that? I know I am. You have to be. And with it being Friday, it might be a payday for you. I hope it is. You can get out and enjoy yourself this weekend. Have a good time with the family or your friends or whatever it is that you or who you choose to congregate with. That's all your business. I'm not judging, but I know this. This time next week, we're going to be getting ready for game week, and we'll have a chance to watch some college football next week. Super, right? And it's one of those things, too. It's like you get through the dog days of summer, and you're nearly there, right? But it seems like things just kind of drag and drag and drag and drag in these final weeks leading up to college football. And listen, I enjoy pro sports, but I live in the big maroon bubble. And I don't watch a lot of Major League Baseball. I don't watch a lot of NFL football. I'm a Steelers fan, so when the Steelers are on, I'll watch the Steelers. I dropped the NFL Sunday ticket years ago. And I watch Dak, when he's on. But, we stay so busy doing what we do, and that's not a humble brag. We just kind of stay busy trying to provide you guys with the latest and greatest information on Mississippi State sports. I just don't have time to give to that. And, we love what we do, which I think is a benefit to all of you, too. You know, in many respects, we're all kind of obsessed with what's going on at Mississippi State and obsessed with being competitive and those kinds of things. But when college sports begin, when the season officially begins, to me, there's something that changes in me, right? And what I mean by that is, it's like the things that you look forward to, and it's football, basketball, baseball, and there are some other sports out there, of course, when we're playing, well, of course, kind of gets your attention. But we support all Mississippi State student athletes, regardless of the tracks and fields and courts they play on. We want everybody affiliated with Mississippi State to be a success. But there's something about these last couple of weeks, right? And maybe it's because we know, hey, with football here, colder weather's coming too. But I get excited. I genuinely get excited. You know, this summer, of course, has been packed with a lot of baseball recruiting stuff, and thankfully we didn't have any staffing stuff to deal with, but it's kind of kept us busy, right? You're working the baseball portal stuff, and then it's like as soon as that stuff kind of begins to kind of move away, you get done with the draft and the deadline's here for the draft, then it's like fall camp opens. And so it's easy to kind of make that transition, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing Jeff Lebby's offense on the field at Davis Wade Stadium. I already begun to kind of make some of my travel arrangements, and of course we cover every game home or away. It's not just a hobby to us, it's not. And so, and not to mention, I was just speaking with the wife yesterday, if I can get it together here. I said, this may be the only time in my life that I'm going to be able to cover Mississippi State playing a football game at Arizona State. And when you look at the gravity of that, you begin to ask yourself, why would I, as a journalist and someone that covers Mississippi State, why would I deny myself that opportunity to go see that? And so if you're on the fence about going, and I hate to sound so morbid about all this, this may be the only time in your life you get to see your team play at Arizona State. I know that we have some great Bulldogs out there in the great state of Arizona, and looking forward to seeing them. Maybe they'll have like an alumni tent, that sort of stuff, and we can all kind of gather and kind of get to know each other a little bit better in person. I look forward to that. And I put out the whole, hey, locals, give me the best places to eat, because when I travel, I try to eat local. But, to think about that, like this year, we get to go to Arizona State. We get to go to Texas, who we hadn't played there in, nearly 30 years? Or over 30 years. We get to go back to Athens, Georgia, which Athens is a great college town. We hadn't had a lot of success over there. But when you start thinking about the road trips for State this year, some really good road trips. And so I'm looking forward to that. Really looking forward to that. One of the things I know for sure, there won't be a Bulldog Burger Company when I take these trips. I ate a late lunch there yesterday. Had a meeting yesterday about some music stuff. And my son Ian waited on us. The service was exemplary. The food, incredible. The company, great. That's the thing. When you go out and you have to have like a meeting with somebody, right? You think, well, where do I want to meet, right? And maybe it's a casual meeting. Maybe it's something that's business related. I don't know. But I like to take my guest to Bulldog Burger Company. And I'll tell you why. Number one, a lot of those people need to be turned on to Bulldog Burger Company. But the atmosphere is great. I feel like it's a great representation, not only of our city, but of myself. Today, if he picks this place, might be a great guy to be affiliated with, right? Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. I had the comeback burger, as did my guest, and I think both of us came away satisfied. And our server, who may be the greatest in the state of Mississippi, Ian Robertson, tells me how popular that thing has been. And I had a gentleman yesterday that came up to me as I entered the building and said, "Steve, what was that burger you mentioned? I forgot, and I didn't see it on the menu." It's the comeback burger, only available in the month of August. I still think they should add it to the menu. Maybe they will. He goes, "I'm going to have to get that next time." I believe he told me he had the smokehouse, which is always a winner. And I was going to get the smokehouse yesterday, but limited time only, I got to get the comeback burger. It's really, really good. I mean, I can't oversell it. It's really, really, really good. And as I've told those folks up there, it's a winner. It is an absolute winner. And great portion as always. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. I passed yesterday. I looked in the mirror yesterday. And I said, "Steve, you're looking kind of dangerous out here. Might be a good day to skip the spring rolls. I don't want to cause any problems for you and your relationships," right? But nevertheless, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors, and absolutely love them. It's so great when I go in there. And I was a customer a long time before they were a sponsor. And so very happy to partner with Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, no media availability today on the Mississippi State campus. Now, there will be a scrimmage game on Saturday. It is not open to the public. It is not open to the media. There are always some honored guests that get to go. And we're not one of them, right? And I'm not throwing shade in any way whatsoever. But the reality of that is that we're going to have that second scrimmage. And then, things will kind of begin to kind of transition. They use these scrimmages to kind of validate what they're seeing from players and what they think. Give him a chance to get out there and compete and play real football. And it will get Jeff Lebby tomorrow after the scrimmage to kind of get his takeaways. I thought he was pretty candid last week. There were some things that he was kind of guarded about. Like, he wouldn't name the players. Like, this guy stood out, that guy stood out. And I get that. And if you've ever coached a team, you kind of understand. You don't want to be talking to your team through the media when it comes to preseason competition. You want everybody to put their best foot forward until the competition is complete. But again, I thought there were some other things that he was very open about, you know, about we got to do a better job on tempo, about the good play of the offensive line. And it's so interesting, too. There's always these pseudo message board insiders, and that's me being nice. That's as nice as I'm going to have. You know, they come out, oh, you know, the offensive line didn't do this, and the offensive line didn't do that. And then Jeff Lebby comes out and praises the offensive line. So you can choose who you want to believe. I choose to believe the guy that's coaching the football program. That's just me, rather than some clandestine insider, you know, with his cryptic post. And it's funny how some of these people have built up a persona, and really, in many respects, kind of bamboozled so many of you. But I tend to listen to the head coach of Mississippi State. That's typically, I think, that's a really good source when it comes to Mississippi State football. You know, who would know more than the guy that's you know, staffing the coaching staff and identifying the players and recruiting them? Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe some other dude does. You know, but maybe, you know, maybe I'm being petty. Maybe. Nevertheless, I want to talk a little bit today about linebackers. Now, yesterday, we had another, you know, a good media day. We had strength and conditioning coach Shad Williams. We had him come speak. You remember Shad was, of course, a great player at Alabama and was up there at Oregon. Of course, he is from the same hometown of Jeff Lebby, played for Jeff Lebby's dad. He's a couple years older than Jeff. But and that's one of the things that I asked him about yesterday. And you can watch that video for free over at jeanspage.com. And if you say, you know what, Steve, I'm at work, I can't have the volume up, well, you can go read a transcription. We provide you with both. And again, the big room stuff is always free. And we cover it all, right? We don't just – I remember a time when I first got up here, like Dave, and I'm not being critical of Dave, but like – They would bring like five or six players to media, and we'd only interview one or two of them. And I'm like, what's the point in this? You know, we got an army of people. Let's get it all. And so now we do. Kind of changed the way we all do media up here. You know, in the beginning, people just would write a feature or two. You know, and nowadays it's like, hey, they're bringing three or four guys to media. We're gonna write about all of them, and we should. You know, every young man that comes to that podium and has an opportunity to talk about his experience at Mississippi State, don't you want to hear from him? Of course you do. Of course you do. And so we're working on that. But let's talk linebackers a little bit. This, again, it's going to be a much different deal this year, you know, because we've kind of been spoiled. Let's kind of admit it. You know, with Bukie Watson and Jet, we've been spoiled. And, you know, those three came in together. They came in with Aaron Brulé. Of course, you know, Aaron left. And he went to Michigan State. Great young man. Wish him the best. I remember walking out of the Egg Bowl that year asking him, are you back next year? Oh, yeah, I'm absolutely back next year. And then he wasn't. Things change. And a lot of it with Aaron, too. You know, he wanted kind of the – I don't know if it's a guarantee to start, but he wanted to know that he was going to have an opportunity to be a starting player. And he was not granted that promise, and so he elected to leave. And I hate it, but I also remember Aaron, you know, missing some tackles, missing some big sacks. It could have been difference makers. And so typically people that are guaranteed things are not always as likely to compete. That's not an indictment on Aaron Brulé, just really more on the human race. And again, I've touched on this a little bit with you guys before. You know, we get out there and have some very limited media availability when it comes to practice. And that is really my only complaint. But I also understand this, too. You know, Jeff Lebby is trying to put a team together. And the sooner that he can get the media out of there and kind of get to work, it's probably a good thing. You know, and we're only there, I guess, about 30 minutes. But I get it. You know, but that's the one thing that I would say. The availabilities have been good. But I do wish we could see a little more practice. You know, I do. You take some pictures, and plus you kind of get an idea what the depth chart's looking at. And as I've said for years, that, you know, that stuff is kind of written in sand, right, until you get into the season. I know it's entertaining for people, but it should only be interpreted for entertainment purposes only. But I wish we could see a little more practice. But when we have had the opportunity to see practice, you know, they give you a roster, you know, because there's a lot of newcomers, right? There's a lot going on during practice, you can imagine. It's not like, you know, you're just sitting there watching one or two things. I mean, you know, they go through positional drills, and there's, you know, there's sometimes 8, 9, 10 groups going. You know, and so you kind of walk around and you see what you see. But Fred Clark, the linebacker from Winona, we talked about him. He doesn't look like a freshman. And he doesn't attack drills like a freshman. And so I'm sitting there, got him in the camera lens. I'm thinking, who is Zero? Oh, that's Fred Clark. That's Fat. I think this is a young man that's going to be able to help us. And he might help us this year. Again, he doesn't have the build and doesn't appear to have the reluctance that maybe some younger guys have. You know, he looks more like a veteran guy. Now, that's in drills. You know, we haven't seen him on tape. And can he read his keys and things of that nature? And can he get out and cover in space? You know, we don't see that aspect of it. And trust me, we've been fooled before in the media when, you know, there'd be some guys that, you know, some practice heroes that never did a whole lot, you know. I remember with Javonte Payton, man, he was absolutely electric in practice. I mean, and that was back when we got to watch a lot of practice. It seemed like every day he was making some acrobatic catch, and we were like, man, Javonte Payton's going to be a dude. And then we get in the season, and he didn't do much. You know, and some of that, too, you know, was just kind of a product of him being a little bit banged up. But, yeah, there's a lot of guys sometimes that are great practice players, and it doesn't translate to the field. So, again, Fred Clark, I think he's going to help us. Might help us this year, but certainly in the years ahead. Now, John Lewis, of course, went to SEC Media Days for us, kind of represented the defense. And it's not just because of the fact that, you know, John was kind of a default pick. You know, Blake Shapen's brand new to the program, too. You know, I mean, they very easily could have picked a transfer to go. But John Lewis is a guy that's kind of grinded it out. And big recruiting win for State late. But out of Germantown High School, strike up the Mavericks out there. But John's a guy that has some physicality with him and brought that with him from Germantown. And we need him to have a big year. We expect him to have a big year. And he is a guy, too, that's going to be a, you know, big part of our blitz packages. And so, you know, we need John to kind of live up to his potential. And a great young man, too. If you're ever around him, you kind of get what I'm talking about. You know, he's easy to root for. Very easy. Of course, Stone Blanton's back. We expect him to be, you know, in the middle of everything. And he's a guy, too, that, again, you talk to people on the staff and kind of in the program, and people will tell you Stone Blanton has, in many respects, kind of been a godsend for this program. You know, we talked about replacing the production that we lose with, you know, with Jet and Buki. And then Stone kind of steps up here and says, okay, I'll pick up the slack here. And watching him in the limited availabilities that we've had, he looks like a guy that's been here for a long time. He looks like a guy, obviously, that's got a couple years of SEC football under his belt. I won't be the least bit surprised if we get to the end of the year and Stone Blanton's a leading tackler on the team. Not just because of the position that he plays, but just the energy and effort that I've seen him show. And again, just talking to other people around the program, and they'll tell you that Stone has been everything they've wanted him to be and then some. Of course, the coaches probably wouldn't go say that in front of the camera, you know. You want to keep the guy working, right? But I expect Stone to have a big year. And listen, we've got to have him stay healthy. You know, I look at his linebackers, and it's like, you know, we just don't have a lot of experience. And some of that, too, is because, you know, when Buki and Jet took over, they're just like, you know, hey, guys, we got it. You know, and they basically ran the show for 2 years. And so you didn't get a ton of reps for younger guys. And the ones that were not necessarily meaningful reps, you know. Ty Cooper, you know, he was a guy, so we thought, you know, hey, this is a guy that's going to be, you know, the next great defensive end. He's playing some at Jack linebacker, and they've kind of moved him around some. I'm eager to see Ty kind of take off. I really am. I think Ty's a guy that maybe has a little more left in the tank. And perhaps this staff, maybe the changing of the guard with the staff will be good for Ty. And there were some times you look up last year and, you know, you really saw the flashes. And I think some of this is because maybe he's a bit of a tweener in some respects. He's 6'4", 245. That Jack linebacker position may be best for him. Zachary Tillman, one of my favorite guys in his class. Zachary obviously was a guy that out of Florence High School down there on 49 that you know, a lot of people thought, you know, it'd be an in-state battle. It turns out that it wasn't. And then some people begin to kind of doubt his ability. They're like, well, if he didn't have more offers, he must not be any good. Well, a lot of it's because he was a guy that every season he kept moving closer and closer to the line of scrimmage, you know, because, you know, basically Kempf is a safety. The next thing you know, he's a backer. And people forget this. He nearly played a lot as a true freshman. He was a guy that was mentioned extensively, not just by the staff, but by the other players, when he was a freshman. Like, hey, he may be on the field this year. And Zachary is a guy, too, I think can provide us some depth. He's a guy that I think a lot of. And he and his mom both, fabulous people. And I think this new linebacker-heavy system may be a good thing for him. Now, J.P. Purvis.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Another guy that has done some amazing things at times. JP is a guy who was supposed to be a safety, and the next thing you know, he kind of grows into a linebacker. He has been here for a long time, and you remember he also was involved in that car accident that he forced a medical red shirt, and even when he came back, he wasn't quite 100%. How could he be? But there have been some games when J.P. Purvis has kind of been the guy that stirred the drink. You know, it's like all of a sudden he comes in on third down, gets a big sack, or, you know, gets a hand on a football or impacts a throw. And so sometimes I think he's kind of the forgotten guy in the conversation at linebacker. J.P. has played a lot of football. And so I expect him to be a big part of things this year. Again, probably a guy that maybe we take for granted. You know, whether it be on special teams or coming in as a second team or coming in certain packages, he is a guy that has done his job when he's been healthy here at Mississippi State. Now, Marcus Ross, ultra-productive linebacker at East Mississippi, was able to enroll back in January and go through spring practice. And this is another young man from down there at New Hebron, Mississippi. If you're familiar, yeah, that's in Jeff Davis County. Some good folks in that neck of the woods. But Marcus is another guy, too, that may cut it out on special teams to start. But this is a guy, too, because of his productivity on the field at Scuba, he's a guy that I think is going to kind of demand to be heard. Is he a starter? No. But I do think he is a guy that's going to be in the rotation heavily. I think you're going to see him play, a good bit. Because we've got to keep those guys fresh, right? Once you get your starters established, you know, especially in these non-conference games, you got to figure out who you can trust. And I know it's Marcus's first year with the program, but this is a guy that has some athleticism to him that I don't know that a lot of people fully appreciate. You know, because like, oh, it's junior college guy. This is a guy that came up under Lance Mancuso at Jeff Davis County. You know the foundation there is so great. Mancuso, one of the best coaches in the state of Mississippi, won several state championships. And so Marcus Ross showed up at East Mississippi knowing how to work. Comes from a championship high school program, goes to a championship level junior college program. Now, of course, there'll be some acclimation that's required, you know, to play in a Southeastern Conference. But this is a young man that has had a lot of good football instilled in him. And he had some God-given athletic ability that I think that he's a guy that could really surprise some people. JaVale Gilmore Gervais is a guy that we loved, you know, and still do. But, you know, he comes up from a meet. I tell you, when you see him, he is a specimen now. He's still a little bit lean, but he's 6'4", 235 pounds. And kind of spoke to him in passing one day. You know, he's excited about the scheme, excited about his opportunities. You know, he loved Mississippi State. And people forget he picked State over LSU. Now, LSU wanted him to play tight end. He didn't want to do that. But he's here now at Mississippi State. And, again, a guy that you probably don't know a ton about, but a guy that was a big-time recruit, and it was a big recruiting win for Mississippi State. Don Terry Russell, I remember there were some people within our media that said, I don't know that Don Terry Russell ever plays a meaningful snap at Mississippi State. And that just hadn't been the case. And granted, he's just a sophomore. He's a DeMonte's younger brother. But a lot of people said, well, you know, he's just kind of so thin, you know. And then what did they do? They put him in the ball game, and he immediately goes out there and gets a sack, you know. And so Don Terry has proven to be very effective. But, again, I think he is a guy that's in the rotation. I feel good about our numbers with this linebacker group. You know, it's just when you've had Buki and Jet, you hadn't had to worry about this group. And now all of a sudden, you got a lot of new names, and so you're just not quite sure. Now, one guy that's back, familiar name, and he's been here a long time, Nick Mitchell. You know, by way of Mandarin High School out in Jacksonville, Florida, you know, I'll be honest with you, if he'd gone to the portal, it wouldn't surprise me, you know. Nick has kind of been a career special teams guy, but we've had an opportunity to speak with him recently, and it's clear that he's kind of put his best foot forward. And maybe, again, the changing of the guard proves to be a good thing for Nick. Nick's got some ability. He truly does. And so I'm eager to kind of see how they utilize him. But it's like when we start running through these numbers here, guys, we have options at linebacker that really maybe didn't exist last year. And I don't just mean because of the names. I'm just saying the potential of the players that are on the roster. You know, one of the reasons that Buki and Jet played so much, it wasn't just because of their own productivity. It's just there wasn't a lot of availability behind them. Brandon Jennings is a guy we have heard a lot from, a lot. This is a young man that very, you know, well-traveled, you know. Started at Maryland, you know, ended up at Kansas State, then goes to junior college. And there's been a lot of things with him. But I had a chance to speak to Brandon's dad back during the summer when he brought Brandon's younger brother Brody to camp. He tells me Brandon is absolutely loving his time at Mississippi State. And I tell you, the folks down at Hines, they told me that he was a model representation of their football program. Never gave them any trouble whatsoever. He came in and he worked hard. He took care of his academics. He said, you know, he's a guy we never had to worry about, you know. And so I think that is a significant thing too. And if you watch that video with him this week, I think it'll give you a little bit of confidence in the season because he is absolutely exuding confidence. I think it was Dave Murray that asked him, who's the most difficult to tackle? And Brandon says, well, I'm laying everybody out. You know, I love it, man. I love it. I love a guy that's willing to get up and talk about it. But Brandon had a great spring game. And I think you saw some flashes then. But I think Brandon Jennings is going to be moving to an SEC backfield near you pretty soon. And I love his attitude. I love people that have a little, dare I say it, piss and vinegar. I like people that have an edge to them, and Brandon does. Josiah Knight's a freshman guy. We certainly expect him to redshirt this year, but got out of Gadsden County High School, kind of a late addition to the class. Tobias Hinton, they're calling him TB these days. He's a guy, again, redshirt freshman. I like him. I liked him in high school. You know, and the thing about him at high school is, you know, he was basically playing edge to fill a team need. And Tony Vance and those guys, they do a great job at Hattiesburg High School. They do. And so the question with Tobias was going to be, well, can he get out and cover in space? Can he do the things other than just rush the quarterback, right? Can he do things besides fit a gap? And I think a freshman year, a redshirt freshman year, was probably a good thing for him, just kind of getting him up to speed on the nuances of the position. And so, of course, you make a coaching change. But I still think that he's a young man that's going to be able to help us. And maybe this year it's a special teams guy, maybe a reserve backer. But he has some athleticism that I think that kind of demands to be to be seen. And so that's your linebacker room, guys. And, of course, a couple walk-ons in there too. But, again, we talked about several guys. I am optimistic about the potential of this group. You know, my concern is you know, how do you kind of factor the rotation in, and how do you meld all these guys from different backgrounds? Because you begin to think about, you know, your starting three. Let's say Brandon Jennings, what guy that comes in from junior college. Don Blanton comes in from the portal. John Lewis, a guy that's been here and kind of been moved around a little bit. And so you got to get these guys comfortable and get them comfortable playing with each other. I think that's one probably job one, you know, for Coleman Hutzler. But these guys have coached a lot of football. You know, they don't need me and you to fill out the depth chart. You know, we'll have fun doing it as we discuss it. But I think this linebacker room might actually be a surprise for this team, not just on defense. I think when you look at the potential and look at the athletic ability of this group, they look like an SEC linebacker room. And you see these guys moving around and flying around with the football, it'll get you pumped up a little bit now. And so I'm just, you know, I think you got to get – you got to find some constitution, right? You got to get these guys all playing in one accord. And that's really what camp is for. But as far as talent and athleticism, I think you've got a very good group. And I think really in some respect, you can't replicate what Buki and Jet did. You can kind of do it by committee. But I think these guys are capable of doing that. I think the scheme itself kind of lends itself to the linebackers kind of being, you know, street sweepers in that respect. I think they're guys that, you know, you're going to depend on the defensive line, obviously, to open up some lanes for you, but you want your guys to be able to go fit gaps and things like that. And I think this linebacker room is going to prove to be better than maybe some of the experts. I'm using that term very loosely. They haven't seen these kids play. They haven't been to your practices, you know. But when you look at the fact the production that you're losing, that's a reasonable concern. So, you know, linebacker may be a question mark for Mississippi State. Absolutely agree with that. But I think that these guys here will have a bit of an answer. And I think this is a group that you're going to be happy with when it's all said and done. And isn't that kind of the fun part of this too, right, is kind of figuring out who the playmaker is going to be. I think that's part of the fun of this season. One of the things I look forward to is, like, you know, after those first couple of games when – you know, maybe a linebacker, a defensive back really kind of begins to exert themselves and really flash and kind of rise to the top to go to the message board. It's like, I didn't know much about this guy, but, man, I'm so glad we have this guy on our team, you know. The linebacker room is really one to watch, really, really one to watch. And, again, Stone Blanton and John Lewis get a lot of the attention, but I think after our discussion today you realize there is some depth there that maybe people don't truly talk about. Just not a lot of production. And that's really the real question for Mississippi State is, can these guys realize their potential here in season one under Coach Jeff Lebby? All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. And you know what? You need a friend in the mortgage industry. It's one of the most important decisions you're going to make in your adult life. The last thing you want is to get into a bad deal. And sometimes as people think, just get me in the house. Next thing you know, you kind of bought above your means because somebody just wanted to close a deal, and then you're the one left paying for it, right? So deal with a professional. Blair's got 23 years of experience. Blair knows how to construct loans that'll please underwriters. It can be a very convoluted process. It truly is. And so no matter what's going on in your life, maybe you're looking to buy a game day condo, which could be more affordable than you think. Maybe you're graduating college. Maybe you're establishing yourself, planting some roots somewhere, and rather than throw your money away on renting, yeah, let's build up some equity. You know, put your money in a big house, right? Get yourself a pretty wife. You know the song. But Blair can get things done. You know, and so whether you're going through a life reset, maybe there's a transfer in your life, maybe the end of a relationship, I don't know. But take some stress out of your life by letting Blair Chandler take care of you. Blair's phone number, 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. I like to keep business in the family whenever we can. I know you do as well. Blair's a Bulldog through and through. Has a place here, season ticket holder in multiple sports. So you can rest assured that a portion of your money is going back to Mississippi State. Okay, so we had this crazy idea that we're really excited about. I kind of teased it on the show, and then Roy's like, I think we should absolutely do that. So here we are. Really, it's, you know, you guys kind of helped me come up with the artists, and sometimes it's me and Roy, and then we put these great lists together, and we're so excited to celebrate music. And then you guys basically vote, right, with your impressions and things of that nature. And so here are here's a top 10 list from the top 10 top 10s, right? So these are the top 10 lists with the highest number of impressions in the years that we've been doing this. Now it's been over 4 years. And the top 10, of course, I stole the idea from David Letterman. We used to do all kinds of stuff. We do top 10 Rob Lowe movies. We've done top 10 Smurfs. We've done top 10 dinosaurs. A lot, you know, we do a lot of that stuff. But what happens is you guys really want the music. And so, as a matter of fact, today I got two more suggestions today. So here we go. What I did is I took those top 10s. I picked the number one song off each of those lists. And we now have constructed a top 10 list of the number one songs from the top 10 top 10s. And I feel like that I'm belaboring that point. But here we go. It's a great song that was shared with me by somebody that I care an awful lot about. And they had gone through some difficulty in life. And said, you know, this is my song from Chris Stapleton. And I love Chris Stapleton. I would love to see Chris Stapleton live at some point. I haven't. I like some of that dirt road country. You know, I do. I'm not a big country guy, but I tell you this, Chris Stapleton is a guy that there is a unique quality about that I don't know that many artists possess, regardless of genre. And so this song is Far Away. You know, it's kind of like I've been through all this stuff. Just take your best shot at me. I mean, you know, I'm fine. You know, I've been through so much. There's just not much you can do to hurt me. So there you go. Again, Far Away from Chris Stapleton, number 10. Okay, from our Ole Miss dedicated list, we dedicated a top 10 list to Ole Miss for Egg Bowl week. And the number one song on there, and you never know, I may end up covering a song someday. You never know. You may walk into a bar or show up at some function, and I'm up on stage, and I'm singing a song. It's Ugly Kid Joe's Everything About You. Everything about you. Because I hate everything about Ole Miss. All right, number eight, a band that many of you, I know my friends Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk are heading down to Brandon to see this band perform with Daughtry. How cool is that? It's Creed, and we're going back to the very beginning. Our number one song on our Creed list is number eight today. It's My Own Prison from Creed. I love Creed, and I did not get all the angst about Creed. They're an incredible band. Of course, Alter Bridge is Creed with Miles Kennedy singing rather than Scott Stapp. But, Creed's selling out, man. They have a lot of tickets sold for this new tour. And so for those of you that can go there and check that out and kind of feel nostalgic. But, Creed's a great band. And, you know, part of the problem with Scott Stapp, you know, is Scott Stapp kind of built himself as a person, a very spiritual person. And then he was part of some adult video it wasn't like just some, you know, hidden video thing. It was like a show, like the whole thing was set up. And then people are like, oh, this guy's such a hypocrite. Well, I got some breaking news for you. We're all hypocrites. Every single one of us are hypocrites. You just maybe don't go make millions of dollars singing and performing and then get caught up in an adult video. There's different levels of hypocrisy, but we're all hypocrites. Yes, you too. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. All right, number seven, kind of sticking with our hypocrisy theme here. I really love the band Hinder. I think they're great. I liked them better with the earlier singer. And, their big breakthrough song was a song about infidelity. It's Lips of an Angel. Right? You make it hard to be faithful. That's what the song's about. And everybody loved it. And you got to be careful singing this in the car because you might be sending a split-level communication message to your significant other that you don't intend to. You know, maybe you're completely happy. Maybe you're completely faithful. So be careful singing this song too loud because it may come across that maybe it's a bit of a confession. All right, number six. I remember this, man. I remember this just like it's yesterday. I remember being a kid, leaving my grandmother's house on Augusta Road in Ellisville, Mississippi. My dad had this, I guess it was a 78 Monte Carlo. It was midnight blue. He called her blue. Had the A-track in there. And the one that we enjoyed the most, me and my brother, Pat, we loved it, was Waylon Jennings' Ramblin' Man album. It was incredible. Dad used to listen to that, some Jerry Reed, some Juice Newton, some Oak Ridge Boys, that kind of stuff. But the Waylon Jennings' Ramblin' Man album is just kind of imprinted on my mind. And, of course, one of the great tracks on there is a duet with Willie Nelson. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. They're never at home. They're always alone, even with someone they love. You know, it's a great song. And it's like when you're a young, impressionable youth, you start. It kind of glamorizes a little bit, right? It's like, don't let them grow up to be cowboys, but you think, man, it's kind of a cool life out there. I want to be a cowboy. I mean, I spent so much time as a kid going to the Dixie National Rodeo, seeing Tom Ferguson, remember him? Yeah, Tom Ferguson. Kind of became a hero in Jackson, Mississippi, in this state. A lot of country folks, man. And that's what I come from. I'm not a country guy, but I'll tell you, I come from that. I come from very humble beginnings, man. My dad grew up on a dairy farm in Jones County, Mississippi. One of 13 kids. That's what they had to do. But that's your number six song. Mamas, Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys by Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson. Transitioning, number five here, and much to my chagrin, and again, I have to admit that this band obviously had a huge impact on 80s music. I wasn't a huge fan. I didn't think that they wrote very complicated songs, but maybe that's not what you want. And I still think CC DeVille is a pretty bad player. But the number one top 10 list of all time on this show is Poison. Poison. And some people laughed at me, some people that know me, and said, how funny is this that the number one song on the number one list is Poison? And I think they probably retweeted it and shared it and probably maybe tipped the balance a little bit. But how the quintessential Poison song, like if you said, hey, I want to turn you on to Poison, what song would you play? What's Nothing But a Good Time, right? And it's a great track. It really is. As much as I didn't really like those guys, especially in the beginning, and there's some songs in Poison I really, really like, but I just never saw them as the same level as bands like Rat and Motley and Whitesnake. I thought they were a lot more serious, and Poison was just kind of a good time in band, and maybe that's what people kind of responded to, because, to be fair, you didn't see Poison singing about the occult. You know, that was a big thing in the early to mid-80s, but I just didn't think, I thought they were kind of a caricature, if I can say it. But apparently you guys love them. So shout out to those guys. I've met Bret Michaels, and my wife wanted to meet him. And I was like, hey, he's right here. We have to, right? I mean, you have to. We got a picture made with him. And I told him, I said, Bret, that Nothing But a Good Time is probably the quintessential 80s rock song. He put his hand on my shoulder and he looked at me and he goes, well, I'll tell you what, brother, you're going to hear it tonight. And the sad thing was for Bret, I didn't stick around for their set. So, but again, I recognize the fact that they have a huge following, and they really are a good time in band, right? They really are. And Something to Believe In is one of my favorite songs of all time. And it's kind of an interesting dichotomy, right? It's a band that I didn't really like, but it's a song that was very meaningful to me. All right, speaking of good time in bands, let's get to number four. Roy recommended this list, and I didn't have to be convinced. I just didn't know enough about the catalog, but the hits from the Zac Brown Band are incredible. And I go back to the very beginning. And anytime this song comes on, I have to sing. I do. Because there's so much of this that resonates with me. It's like, hey, this is where I'm from. This is who I'm about. These are the things that I was raised with. And we're talking chicken fried. Now, I don't drink cold beer on Friday nights anymore. It's been a long time since I've done that. But I do recognize the fact that there is some very blue-collar, genuine authenticity to the Zac Brown Band. They have a huge following. People love them. They've even crossed over and done some rock stuff, and I respect it. And they're incredibly talented. All right, number three. This goes way back to the beginning. Way back. It's so crazy to think about this. I guess it's been 35 years now. 35 years since Black Crowes hit the scene. And I remember going out and buying Shake Your Moneymaker. And I was like, you know, this is a little different than what I'm used to, but for some reason I love it, man. I'm drawn to it. And it ends up being one of the best albums, really, of a generation. And I love the Black Crowes. I have every album. And there was a time there that, some stretches, that's all I'd listen to. Because I think, especially Chris, I think there is something within Chris. The things that he can kind of stir up and pull out of the ethos and turn into music that just kind of resonates with me. There's just something about Chris Robinson's voice and his authenticity that really, really kind of make me feel like, hey, this is a song that kind of fits my mood, you know. But it's She Talks to Angels. And it's one of those things, too, like I thought it was so incredibly heartfelt and genuine even from the beginning, even before I worked a program of recovery. And really, in some respects, maybe before I was even an addict or knew that I was. But it's an incredible song. And I think every line is so incredibly heartfelt and genuine. And that's one of the things, even from the very beginning, like I put it on now. And if I let myself, I can kind of go there. Right? You know what I'm saying? There's some songs that just kind of take you in a time machine and you begin to kind of think about all the things that have happened in your life. This is one of those songs for me. And especially the whole line about, she keeps a lock of hair in her pocket. You know, we talk about the locket and the cross of someone she hadn't met, not yet. I mean, it's just, it's beautiful, amazing writing. Number two, I could make an argument it should be number one. But we don't like to do covers as number ones. We don't do a lot of covers unless we do a covers top 10. And we did recent rock covers here a few years ago. And it kind of came out of nowhere. You guys love that list. And I think it's because a lot of you were on your way to Omaha and you were looking for something to listen to. So after you got done with the Boneyard, you put on the top 10 list. The number one song on recent rock covers way back in 2021 was Shinedown's version of Simple Man. Now, I love the original. And I love this version, too. I do think Brent kind of oversings a little bit in the back half. But the Lynyrd Skynyrd Foundation doesn't license these songs to just anybody. And, of course, at the time, Jason Todd was married to Melody Van Zandt, so they had kind of an insight there. But I think Shinedown's version is really, really good. But nothing ever, to me, compares to the original. I think it's Ronnie Van Zandt's Stairway to Heaven. I think it's a song that everybody knows. And I think if you break it down lyrically, bar by bar, there is some proverbial wisdom that only maybe Southern people get. That's just my feeling. But number one, we like to go out with a banger. And it kind of surprised me that this was a top 10. And maybe it shouldn't. But what's interesting, you're like, Hinder bumped Journey out of our top 10. Journey, like, there's no Journey, there's no Foreigner, right? This was, Radio Rockers, no REO Speedwagon. But Phil Collins made it. Phil Collins made it. And if you're going to go Phil Collins, you got to go Within the Air Tonight, just so everybody can play the drums. And so it's your weekends here. Maybe you're getting out, doing some traveling. Maybe you're working in the yard. Maybe put on our list this week. And again, the top songs from the top 10 list, kind of a greatest hits of sorts. And I love the diversity in the list. I truly do. And I think it kind of says something, too. There's some things about some of these artists. There's just a level of authenticity that I think kind of stands out. Maybe you could throw Ugly Kid Joe out with that. And I love those guys. But they were just kind of a fun band, too. But, I think there is some commonality in a lot of this. And it's because people have written and recorded and performed songs that are very relatable to people. And so that kind of comes through. That's my feeling on it. So if you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit us up on social media. Best way to find Roy is at Dogmatic67 on Twitter or X, whatever you're calling it these days. Our great lists are also available on Spotify. Roy does tweet out the link to make it easy for you. But if you're missing a list, and I get hit up a lot, and people say, hey, Steve, have we done this? Have we done that? We have, but you can go to Roy's Spotify. Again, Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67, and you can find and look through those lists. And sometimes I think that poison list, some people are just trolling me by continuing to download it. But nevertheless, it's your life, right? Enjoy it. You can find me on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. And we'll have three fresh lists of top tens. Wanted to give you something pretty special for the weekend. And again, thanks again to BJ Cummings for doing our widespread panic list on Wednesday. If we haven't seen that, Roy will have that out for you soon if it hadn't out there already. All right, time for us to get to the next segment of the show, brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. I love Campus Bookmart. You love Campus Bookmart. And if you don't, it's because you haven't shopped there yet. And if you haven't, shame on you. You're probably paying too much, and you're probably getting less selection than you deserve. There's not a better selection of Mississippi State merchandise in the world than there is at Campus Bookmart. Now, rather than go to Amazon or do this online shopping, we're going to make it easy for you. You can do online shopping with a Starkville business. And listen, I know you love Starkville. I'm a firm believer in shopping and eating local. I encourage you to do the same. Chances are, if you live out of state, you don't have a Mississippi State merchandising shop close to you. So shop Starkville. Now, when you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. If you can't do so, or perhaps game day is not a good shopping day for you, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net, courtesy of Al Gore's internet, and we'll give you a promo code that pays. That's BSR. It stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. And again, we're going to be playing football, guys, in 2 weekends. Are you ready for this? I don't know that you are, but you've got time to order today and get some new Mississippi State merchandise, and you can ride that ride to Starkville in your fresh threads. There's nothing better than that, right? And it's like when you get that new Mississippi State cap or that new Mississippi State shirt, whatever you need, you can find it at Campus Bookmart. Whether it's a family gift, a birthday gift, housewarming gift, a gift to yourself, Campus Bookmart can outfit you and your family with all you need with Mississippi State merchandise. I love them. They love me. We all love you. All right, let's continue with our opponent previews. We've only got two of these left, so we'll wrap these up on Monday. And, of course, next week we'll get to kind of preview some college football. And we'll continue our positional breakdowns. But Missouri, that's who's next on the schedule. Last home game of the year, it'll be senior day. And I remember when Eli Drinkwitz got hired, people were like, you know what, this guy's not qualified. And he's kind of proven that he is. He's kind of a madman. And one of the things I like about Eli Drinkwitz, and maybe I didn't feel this way 2 years ago, is he says exactly what he thinks. And when he first did it, people are like, well, who is this guy to talk? You know, he hadn't been around. He hadn't done anything. Got hired back in 2020, you know. Had 1 year as a head coach at Appalachian State. And next thing you know, he's at Mizzou. They go 5-5. They go 6-7. And everybody thinks, this is not going to work out. He's probably coaching for his job in 23. Well, what do? They go 11-2, win the Cotton Bowl, and finish eighth in the country. Let's go back and take a look at the season it was. They opened up with a 35-10 win over South Dakota. You think, well, they're expected to win that game, and certainly they should as an SEC program. They narrowly get by Middle Tennessee State in week two, 23-19. And I don't know if you remember much about this game because it probably flew under your radar. Because, I mean, when are you thinking about Missouri, especially in years that we don't play them? But, this was a 10-7 game at the break. And then it's a 16-10 game going into the fourth quarter. Middle actually won the fourth quarter, but ultimately not the ball game. But pretty tight ball game, and you're probably thinking as a peripheral fan of the SEC, it's going to be the same old Missouri. Well, that didn't prove to be the case because they had a pretty loud win in week three. Number 15, Kansas State comes into Como and leaves with a loss. And so all of a sudden, the Tigers are 3-0 with a top 15 win under their belt. And people are like, you know, hey, okay, this is happening, you know. Well, then they play Memphis and St. Louis. And it's weird to me that they were able to get a non-conference neutral site game. I mean, how many fans is Memphis going to bring? All due respect to Memphis. But nevertheless, they had this ball game in St. Louis at the Dome at America Center. And again, Missouri wins, but it's nip and tuck. And again, you think, you know, hey, Memphis is a good G5 program. This is an SEC program. And you win 34-27. And not that Memphis doesn't have some SEC wins, but it didn't do much to raise the eyebrows. But you look up and they're 4-0, headed to Vanderbilt. Well, of course, that's a win, right? So now all of a sudden the Missouri Tigers are 5-0, and we're thinking, hey, these guys are going to make a bowl game. Now, they've made it the two previous years with 6-6 records, but now you start thinking, hey, at 5-0, they got a chance to, you know, hey, maybe have a winning campaign this year. Well, LSU goes up there, and it was a wild game. And probably you all remember this one. LSU wins at 49-39. LSU had to score 22 points in the fourth quarter to win the game, because Missouri pretty much led throughout until that final quarter. Jaden Daniels, big ball game for him. Malik Nabers, 146 yards receiving. Pretty crazy type stuff. But, like, you know, again, Missouri is up 22-7 in this game. It's true. Ends up being a wild one. And Missouri had their chances late. You know, LSU was up 42-39 and was able to hang on. And they have the big interception return late to put the game away. You remember that? Major Burns picks off Cook and takes it back. It's a crazy, crazy game. It was the first loss of the year. And even though it was a packed crowd, people were like, you know what? Hey, okay, it's LSU. Well, the next week they go into Lexington, Kentucky, which has been a very difficult place to play in the Mark Stoops era. And they wear Kentucky out 38-21. That kind of stuff makes me happy. I'm a Kentucky football hater. And it's not anything really to do with Kentucky itself. It's their media, for one. It's like everybody acts like Kentucky should be great in football. They're not. And again, I've shared this many times. If you go back and look at, you know, State and Kentucky are kind of the same on different sides of the divisions in the old days. But Mississippi State didn't get the respect that Kentucky got. So I'm a hater. But they get run out of their own stadium by Missouri. Again, you look up here and it's like, okay, they start the year on a five-game winning streak. They lose to LSU, a top 25-ranked LSU, and then they beat Kentucky. Okay, you're bowl eligible already. And then you've got South Carolina coming in, who was struggling a little bit, and you beat them too. So you're thinking, hey, this is going to be a special year for us. The Drinkwitz magic is real. You go to Athens, and you lose that ball game. But, guys, Missouri went in there and played. There was nothing about this game you looked at and said, you know, hey, Missouri's outclassed. Missouri led after one. It was tied at the break, 10-10. And there were some people thinking, hey, here we go. Well, Kirby goes in there and gets his boys right to halftime, and they kind of take control there in the third quarter and ultimately win 30-21. But I think even in a loss, it validated Missouri as a team that you absolutely can't sleep on. And Tennessee found out, as we discussed Tennessee recently, Tennessee found out that Missouri is not anything to play with. They absolutely smashed Tennessee 36-7 in Como. And then the next week, they get Florida and beat them 33-31. And they tried to make this, Arkansas-Missouri game, you know, they tried to make that a bit of a rivalry game, and it just, you know, it just hadn't worn out, right? You look at it, it didn't make any sense. They go into Fayetteville, and they beat Arkansas 48-14. Now, granted, Arkansas wasn't good last year. But you look up, and guys, it is a 10-2 regular season. Your loss is to LSU, that had the Heisman Trophy winner, and to Georgia, that was number one team in the country. Team that won back-to-back national championships. So, hey, two quality losses. And one of those comes on the road. The only home loss you had was to LSU, and kind of a crazy ball game. But then they get Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl, and they beat them 14-3 and finished the year 11-2, ranked in the top 10. Now, the question now is Missouri for real? Was last year the exception rather than the rule? Because, you know, hey, Drinkwitz has not been great. Again, you know, he hadn't had a winning season at Missouri until this year, in year four. I don't know that that works most places. You can say, well, you know, we had to get our guys in here. And they have. And, of course, and they're a veteran team. And I don't think anybody talks enough about Brady Cook. That guy's pretty good. But let's look at this year's schedule, kind of see how things will play out before they get to us. And you never know. You know, there's, and it's so unfortunate too. Every year there is a star in the Southeastern Conference that you lose early. You know, like Arkansas lost Rocket. You know, it's just crazy. I mean, there's always somebody that loses a star player. And of course, you know, we didn't have Will Rogers for a stretch last year too. Might have changed a lot, but I think ultimately we're going to be better off in the direction that we're heading now. But and that's not about Will Rogers. It's just about offensive philosophy. But okay, so Mizzou's going to open up on Thursday night, August 29th. So if you want to get kind of do some advanced scouting of your own, you can watch that game. Be on the SEC Network. Missouri State, the Racers, our friend Jody Wright, we'll head up to Como and see if they can't come up with a win. The next week, they host Buffalo. That should be a dub. Boston College then goes into Como. You know, what are we expecting from Boston College this year? You know, I just don't know. You know, with the SEC speed and the fact that Drinkwitz has been able to kind of to assemble some offensive skill down there, I think Boston College is probably in trouble. Yeah, and I don't even remember how Boston College finished last year. Do you guys? I mean, are you big fans? I don't know. Let's take a look, though, real quickly. It wasn't a good year. They went 7-6. And so that's the thing you begin to ask yourself. Okay, can a 6-6 or 500-level Eagles team roll into Como and get a victory? I would say no. You know, they did win their bowl game last year against SMU to finish the year 7-6. It was a winning year. I think you're asking an awful lot. So that puts Missouri in a situation they should be 3-0. And then Vanderbilt will roll in. Let's just go ahead and chalk up a dub there. So 4-0 headed to College Station. Huge game for both teams. Now, I don't think Missouri is a playoff team. I don't think so. But if they're going to replicate the success that they had last year, this is a game you got to win. And if you're Mike Owen, Texas A&M, this is a huge game for you too, because Missouri is going to be ranked and coming in there with a lot of juice. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know what to expect from A&M this year. I don't. But I think this could be a road game Missouri can get. We'll revisit that. Obviously, we get a little bit closer because we'll have a better sense of what those teams look like after, you know, 5 weeks into the season. You know, you have a pretty good idea of what everybody's going to have. Well, then the next week they go to UMass. Well, that's a dub too. So you're looking at the halfway point of the year. You're knocking on the door to bowl eligibility, even if you lose to A&M. Well, then you welcome Auburn up there. And Cohen and company, beware. Beware going up to Como, and that's going to be an early game too. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I don't know that the whole the quarterback situation at Auburn has improved. And part of their problem too is wide receivers. They didn't have a lot of speed and athleticism at the receiver position to kind of get open. And so not all of that is on the shoulders of Peyton Thorne. But I think Missouri is going to be able to score. That could be a very interesting game. Could be. The next week they go to Alabama. Now, ordinarily you'd say, well, that's an absolute loss because you're going to Tuscaloosa. You know, St. Nick isn't there anymore. You know, so I'm not ready to count it out, but I'm at this point I would pencil in a W for Alabama. by the time we get there to October 26th, we may feel completely different. Oklahoma will then make the move to Como. And again, I think Oklahoma's probably a 7-5 team or so this year. I think it's going to be tough to go in there and win. I think that the schedule doesn't favor them either because of the fact that Mizzou gets an open date after the Alabama game. Missouri will then go to make the trip to South Carolina. Should be a dub. They come here, you know, and you know, based on where we are right now, you'd say, what's probably a dub, right? You never know what two teams are going to look like by the time they get here, and then they finish up on November 30th. And so, you know, again, you start counting through the losses here. There's a really good chance because it's a very favorable non-conference schedule, and then you get Vanderbilt, and you get South Carolina that may be making a coaching change at the end of the year. You get Arkansas, you know it's making a coaching change at the end of the year, barring something totally unforeseen. First-year coach Jeff Levy at Mississippi State. And again, I think we're going to be able to score against them, but you know, by the time they get here, they'll probably have a full head of steam. But again, I think this is – I think what we're seeing is the Drinkwitz system kind of taking root. And give that administration a lot of credit because you could say, well, you know, we made back-to-back bowl games, but you lost them both. And you finished with losing record. But they hung in there with him, and he rewarded him with a huge season last year. I think it's going to be another big year this year. Is it a 10 or 11 win season? I don't know, but I would say probably 9. Would you not feel good about 9? I think you would. It's because even the SEC schedule, like you take out that road trip to Tuscaloosa, it's a really, really favorable schedule for Missouri. It truly is. And again, that A&M game is essentially a toss-up. You know, you get a couple of teams with coaches on the hot seat. You get a couple of teams with first-year head coaches. It's a really good schedule for Missouri. Again, I don't think they're a playoff team, but with an upset or two, that might happen. But I think the Tigers are going to be a good team when they come in here. If I had to call it today, I'd say we're probably in trouble. I don't think it's bad trouble. I think we can compete with those guys. But I think they're a team right now that's going to be favored to beat Mississippi State. Again, we'll revisit as we get a little bit closer. But you're kind of looking back last year at some of the numbers. And it's so interesting how this all works out. All these college football websites, I don't know who is the – there is a market out there, folks, for people that would like to put some of these people out of business. I'm just kind of saying it for what it is. There's so much of this. Trying to navigate these college websites, and sometimes you go on there and the thing just kind of sits there and spins and spins and spins and spins. And you don't get it. You know, you don't get the opportunity to get the information that you seek. And it's like one or two companies out there that kind of have the whole shoot match. And then you can't get it. You know, it's like you just kind of punt. I mean, like right now, I have clicked the stats button on the Missouri website probably 10 times. And it keeps taking me to the schedule. So if you're a young, enterprising computer programmer out there, you have an opportunity out there to carve out a niche for yourself. Because some of the people responsible for the housing and publication of these numbers, not doing very good. All right, Missouri Tigers, courtesy of our friends at ESPN. Brady Cook, 3,317 yards, and it feels like he has been there absolutely forever. That's how it feels to me. And there are people that really like this kid. And so, and how many times you work through this and say, you know what, hey, this is, you know, old wins in college athletics. And Brady Cook is a guy that's seen it all and done it all. 66% completion percentage last year, 21 touchdowns against 6 interceptions. He was sacked 26 times. And you wonder how much of that's on him and how much of it's on his offensive line. So pre-snap reads got to be a big part of this. Cody Schrader led the team with 1,627 yards rushing last year. Luther Burden III, big-time player for them, 1,212 receiving yards. Jalen Carley's 64 tackles. Chris Abrams-Drain, a guy that Mississippi State recruited. And some people thought we were going to get him. I did not. And he ends up going to LSU, if memory serves me correct, and then ultimately lands at Missouri and has had a good career up there. He certainly has. But, you know, you look at these numbers, like the receiving numbers. You know, Burden caught 86 balls last year and had 9 touchdowns. And there's Theo Weiss Jr. had 49, Mookie Cooper with 36. Great names, for sure. And also a great level of production. But when you look at depth of target, I mean, they're throwing the ball down the field. They're really stretching and stressing the defense. But it'll be awfully interesting. Can it be replicated this year? You know, and those are things you start beginning to ask yourself when, you know, when you're a team like that, that maybe snuck up on some people last year. That's not going to be the case this year. You're not going to have a lot of people that just say, hey, it's another game. It's another SEC game. No, you're going to have a lot of people that are going to be looking at you and saying, you know what? Hey, this is a game that could make our schedule. We're playing for postseason and position. And they return a lot. I mean, like Luther Burden is back. He was just a junior. You know, and so that, and Brady Cook, obviously a senior from St. Louis, but it's just one of those deals. You start looking at this, and the pieces are there, and the schedule is there for Missouri to have, you know, another good year, and probably put Eli Drinkwitz in a situation where he can get a nice extension, probably a long-term deal, and kind of lock up some things for a while. And Missouri has not, if you've been to the game there, I was there in 15. If I remember correctly, it was a rainy Thursday night, and Dak hit the runway right before the half to kind of give us some breathing room. It was Drew Locke's first college start, if memory serves me correct. But this Missouri, going up there, it doesn't feel like an SEC environment, but then when you see on TV what they had last year, you know, there's some maturation happening there. You can tell they feel like, okay, yeah, maybe we can compete in the SEC in football. And that's, you know, when they came in the league, they immediately went to the SEC championship game, and everybody's like, hey, you know, that's a surprise, you know. But it is what it is. Now, looking at the transfer portal from last year, too, they had 15 – look at this. I don't know what's happening with this stuff. Here we go. Okay, yeah. Maybe it's me. They had 19 transfer outs, and, of course, some of those guys are walk-on guys looking for scholarship opportunities. You know, Dennis Jackson, remember him? Dennis Jackson from Summerall, a guy that committed to Mississippi State, and everybody said, you know what, it's not going to stick. He committed to Joe, flipped to Ole Miss, hits the portal, goes to Missouri, now he's at Southern Miss. And I remember Dennis Jackson, you know, I loved his film. You know, you always worried a little bit about quality competition in small town Mississippi, and I'm from small town Mississippi. But that's a name that you know. But you know, he's left. That's two SEC programs now that he has not been able to kind of to get on the field and have an extensive amount of playing time. But you know, so I wouldn't call that a big loss, but it's just a name that you guys know, and you're probably curious, you know, kind of where he ended up. But what's interesting, kind of looking through their transfer outs, they don't have a lot of guys making lateral moves. They have a lot of guys that are leaving the program to go play in G5 type opportunities. You know, Val Erickson's an offensive tackle that went to NC State. You had a couple guys that went to Oregon State, but by and large, you know, they're going to Eastern Michigan, Arkansas State, and ECU. And so it seems like, hey, these guys are leaving for playing time. It's probably good roster management. And then you go back and look at the 15 transfers coming in, you've got some ascending G5 guys, but you've got some Power 5 guys also making the move over, including Jeremiah Beasley, a linebacker from Michigan. And obviously, if he went to Michigan, obviously there's some juice there. Now, production value, maybe a little bit of question mark, but he was rated a 4-star by the network as a transfer. And so he's heading in, right? And then you get, you know, Eddie Kelly comes in from Georgia Tech. Sterling Webb is a guy that comes in from New Mexico State. Caden Green from Oklahoma. Darius Smith, an edge rusher from Georgia. Be nice if we could have got him. He's headed to Missouri. Zion Young, another edge from Michigan State, headed to Missouri. Toriano Pride, a cornerback from Clemson. You know, so it appears that you're replacing the players that are leaving with some Power 5 guys. Again, there are some ascending G5 guys, but some of the guys that are leaving and going to a lower level program, their roster spots are being filled with guys with Power 5 experience. And I think that's good roster management. And I think it not only does it bode well for this year, it bodes well for the future if you're Missouri football. And so, again, there's a lot of people up there that are excited saying, you know what, hey, this may be a really good year for us. And I think the evidence certainly supports that. I think most people that would look at that and say, you know what, we would like to be in that position. Not only are you a team returning most of your offensive playmakers and some pieces on defense, you get the favorable schedule, and then you work through the portal process, and it appears you're trading out with value. You have some guys leaving your program that may not be able to provide much in the way of production, and they're being replaced by some players that maybe have a better chance. And so looking at the current AP poll, you know, Missouri is 11th in the country. Of course, they finished the year 8th, and so you're going to start the year at 11th. And again, they will probably string together a handful of wins before things ever get serious. They will be a top 10 team middle of the season. I don't think there's any question about it. And I know you guys have are kind of well acquainted with this top 25, but you know, and who all we're going to play. But let's run through it real quick here together, because many of you I know have been kind of finishing up your honey-do list. But Iowa's 25. We're in the AP poll. NC State, 24. USC is 23. Kansas, 22. Arizona, 21. A&M, 20. I think that's a bit high. Miami's 19. Kansas State, 18. Oklahoma State, 17. Oklahoma, 16. I think that is way too high. Tennessee, 15. Maybe a little low. Clemson, 14. LSU, 13. I think that's a bit high. Utah's 12. Missouri, 11. Florida State, 10, which will be interesting what they do quarterback-wise there. Michigan's 9, which I think you're going to see Michigan fall a little bit this year. Penn State's 8. Notre Dame is 7. Ole Miss is 6. Alabama 5. Texas is at 4. I like this Texas team. Oregon's 3. Ohio State is 2. And Georgia's 1. But I will not be the least bit surprised if we get middle of the year and some of these teams that are in the top 15 are well behind that, and some will likely be unranked. And that's one of the things we love about college athletics, is things are always so unpredictable, especially outside of the top, you know, four or five teams. But awfully interesting. Of course, on Monday, we'll take an opponent preview of Ole Miss. Of course, a lot of expectations for that program this year. And we'll talk about what they've added and kind of what we should expect. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Stark Vegas Clubhouse. If you're looking to bring a large group to Stark Vegas or the Golden Triangle area for work or for pleasure, there's no better place to stay than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. 5 bedrooms, 2 baths, that great back porch area. There's a fire pit outside. 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You could do your tailgating there, right? And you could probably tailgate longer rather than having to kind of get everything put back together and get it all back in your vehicle and pack everything back up. You can just leave it out there, right? And you're good to go. You don't have to worry. And you're bringing a work group to town, you know, rather than having to go get 5 hotel rooms and have everybody kind of scattered about, and you never know when so-and-so wants to go to dinner. You got to go down to that lounge and have all those outsiders come in and open your conversation. It's just, you know, it's just a better way to stay when you go to Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and that's really all you got to do, Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and their Facebook page comes up, and you can just kind of see, you know, hey, these are the amenities that are available to you. You got that great full-service kitchen, so you can go buy some groceries, you can cook all your meals. You have that great wet bar, so if you want to have an adult beverage and just kind of sit out back and chill, you can do that too. All of that is part of the experience at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Whether it's a family event, a work event, a friends event, couples weekend, whatever you'd like for it to be, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse can accommodate you. Now, when you Google them, you're going to have some booking options that emerge. You can do Airbnb and VRBO. That's up to you. But if you want to save some money, I can help you. Book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. BSR10. That gets you 10% off your stay. BSR10. Get you 10% off your stay. What could be better? No better place to stay in the Golden Triangle than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right. Again, no media opportunity today. I'm actually going to upload the show, and then we'll head to Scuba. I'm going down there to there's some players down there, obviously Mississippi State's recruiting. I'm going to go down there and get some information, do some interviews. We'll come back. We'll have those posted today and tomorrow. This show will be available on your app probably before it's available on Gene's page. It's probably what you're used to. But I begin to think about, you know, this is the last Saturday that we're going to have college football for a long, long time. And we'll talk about this more next week. But Florida State and Georgia Tech are playing over in Dublin next week. Next Saturday, we're going to kick off the season. And I'm so glad we're not calling it week zero. It was so stupid. And maybe some people still are. It's so stupid. But next Saturday, the 24th, you got four games. The Florida State game at Georgia Tech, that's going to be on ESPN, and it'll be a morning kick. Montana State is at New Mexico. That'll be on Fox Sports 1, if you're interested in that. SMU is at Nevada. That'll be on the CBS Sports Network. That's that evening. And then late night, Delaware State at Hawaii. So next Saturday, you can get up and watch college football from the time you wake up until the time you go to bed. Because as soon as one game ends, another one's going to start. How cool is that? So next week, it's four different networks. And I don't know who's broadcasting the Hawaii game. But you're going to have a lot of football. And it's going to be a nice little taste. And then we get into Thursday. There are a lot of games on Thursday. I mean, a ton. To be honest with you, I can't believe there's that many games on Thursday. I mean, we're talking almost 20 games here. And one of the bigger ones, North Carolina at Minnesota. That'll be an interesting game. You know, a lot of G5 opponents, a lot of MAC teams kind of getting after. But you're going to have plenty of games to watch. And it looks like every one of them is going to be broadcast either on ESPN Plus or ESPNU. There's going to be a ton to watch. We're almost there, kids. We are. We're almost there. I want to share with you, too, if you hadn't been to DutyNobleBook.com, you can go do that. I'm awfully proud of this book, and I'm proud of all of them. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about, I had somebody ask me this week why I didn't do a big book tour for When the Bottom Falls. And maybe it's a little bit selfish, to be honest with you, which kind of flies in the face of the purpose of writing the book, right? Because I wrote the book to help other people. But man, I tell you, those book signings for When the Bottom Falls were much different. And I had so many people that would come, and it's a reminder to me, as a person in recovery, long-term recovery, that it's not getting any better out there. And I was like having to sign books for dead kids. Yeah, it's tough. And I'm honored to do that. But I had many parents come up and said, hey, could you write this to my son? And I said, like, okay, well, what's his name? Well, he passed away last year to an overdose. He passed away 2 years ago, or we lost our daughter. You know, it takes a bit of a toll on you. And so, you know, when we go out and do the Dude book tour, you're going to be able to purchase that book as well. You're going to be able to get When the Bottom Falls. We're going to bring them all, what we have left. But and so it's just a different dynamic, and it always is one of those things, too, that kind of drives home the point to me that I'm a little bit different. You know, I am a little bit different, and I don't just mean how I look and dress and how I talk and operate, but there are some things about me that are maybe different from all of you, and so there's a lot of other people out there that have those same differences, and then they have not found a way to kind of deal with that. And the best way that I have learned to deal with being different is to be as different as I want to be true to myself. And so, and there's some other people out there, you know, people think I'm weird. There's a lot of people weirder than me, for sure. But who really decides what's weird, right? And so if you're happy being weird, you just be the weirdest person you know. You know, just do, if that's what you got to do. You know, we're all just bozos on the bus until we figure out how to kind of express ourselves. And I think that's a big part of all of this. But one of the things that I love about the sports books signing dates and is people are so fired up. You know, like when we did the Dogpile book tour and ended up having to cut that a little bit short too. But we did a lot of dates for Dogpile. Like everybody shows up in a national championship shirt. They got their M over S hat on. Everybody, they wanted to high-five you. They wanted to get a picture made. Steve, we finally did it. We did. And when the bottom falls, it's completely different. Now, that understood, I think When the Bottom Falls is probably the most important book I've written or I'll ever write, because there's so many people out there that are struggling. And many of you don't know that they're struggling. And nowadays, we have basically normalized so much of this that we don't recognize the struggling. Does that make sense? And drugs are a lot more potent these days. They are. I remember a day when you could call up a friend and you could, get a 40 and just go home and smoke some weed and just kind of relax and chill out. And nowadays, I read reports all the time of people that are going and getting some marijuana and it's laced with fentanyl and it's killing them. And so I'm not going to sit here and say I'm grateful that I got sober when I did because of the potency of the drugs, because there's a lot of stuff I did back then that could kill you, and it did. But I share that with you because I don't ever want there to be a situation where we just all say, hey, yeah, all of this is okay. It's not. And I'm not sitting here as a judge of morality. What I'm trying to express to you is that drugs will kill you. Drugs will kill the people that you love. And I can tell you, when I was out in the middle of all that stuff, you know, I didn't even value my own life. You know, how do you save someone without fear? I mean, you don't even fear losing your life. And nobody in my family knew these things. They knew that I was in trouble, but they didn't know the self-talk that I dealt with every day. And I still deal with some negative self-talk. I do. And that's 33 years into sobriety. It's probably something that'll be part of my experience the rest of my life. But the thing that I have to do, because if I want to feel sorry for myself, I can. That's not a distant journey for me. If I want to find something to be upset about, I can. And I just choose not to. And one of the things that helps me is all of you. It's true. Like I'll see the numbers, you know, the analytics, you know, and I'm like, hey, that's pretty cool, you know, but it's just a number. And then all of a sudden I get a message from somebody and says, hey, can you do this top 10 list? Or Steve, I listened to the show. It's a great segment here. And I don't do all this for attention. I don't do it all for money. I do this to try to assimilate great information about Mississippi State and the Southeastern Conference and the things you care about. But there's nothing more important than me than the still suffering addict. And I don't have the time to commit to it that I once did. And that's unfortunate. But if you know somebody that may be struggling, or that you're struggling, or you need to understand somebody that's struggling, let me encourage you to get that book. And you can get it at the Duty Noble Book website, or you can put in whenthebottomfalls.com. All those URLs go the same place. But I was kind of convicted of something here recently. It was out of love, right? But, you know, somebody kind of made mention that I really wish you would have toured more with the Bottom Falls. We really wanted you to come here. And I had some people that we turned down some dates just because of the fact that it took a lot out of me. But also, too, you know, we immediately had to go to work, right? And so I share that with you just because I think it's important for you to understand. Now, again, the dude, we're going to do it pretty much every date we can until it becomes, you know, impossible, but we're going to be very, very visible. And so if you're looking to book dates, you can hit me up. I'll put you in contact with the scheduler through the publisher, and Janet can get you guys taken care of. But you got to understand the holidays, you know, we got to do volume, right? And so I can't come to the Book Tussle Arts and Crafts Fair and, sell, 10 books, you know. We got to do events. Everybody's in this at some point to make money, but the reality of this is that, you know, if you're having an alumni function, or you're having maybe you own a bookstore, a gift shop. Yeah, we did a great signing with Dogpile at Red Square there in the Renaissance, and Jill does an amazing job there, and I spent some money while I was there. But it was just kind of an impromptu thing. She's got a clothing store, and it's like, hey, do you want to do a book signing at my store? I was like, sure, why not? So we did it. Great signing. I think she was surprised at how many we sold. And I give her a lot of credit. She got there and hustled and said, hey, I know you're a big Mississippi State fan. Steve is here today. You guys want to get a book? And so we did. But I'm excited about the new book, but I'm excited about football season. There's a lot to look forward to these days. And that's one of the things, too, that kind of equates back to that negative self-talk. And it's not just for me, it's for you, too. I am a kind of person that always needs something to look forward to. Like, just living life, just kind of getting up and existing and, you know, getting up and, you know, having breakfast and, you know, writing a few things, whatever, you know, that just, you know, I love writing, but I need something to look forward to. It's one of the reasons that I've written so many books is because I enjoy the process and I enjoy the interaction with all of you. And so if you're one of those kinds of people that maybe you feel kind of stuck in the mud, and maybe you're not artistically gifted. I'm not trying to be critical. You know, maybe, you know, music and manuscripts aren't your thing, but it's good to have something, whether it's planning a trip, planning an event at your home. You know, it's important to have things to look forward to because life itself is beautiful, but it can get very, very monotonous. And I don't want to sit here and preach to you guys for long because I got to get out of here and get ready and go down to scuba. But my point about all this is life is a beautiful thing, and life can be very, very difficult at times. But the things that I have saw in my own life, when life gets difficult for me, it usually happens for one or two reasons. Number one, somebody put something in my wagon, right? And what I mean by that is, you know, you're heading up the journey in the mountain of life, and then, you know, unexpectedly somebody puts something heavy in your wagon. And it can often be unexpected. You know, it could be somebody you trust. And sometimes, you know, like, hey, I don't mind carrying more of the load, but don't sneak me on it, right? Let me know. You know, I'm more than happy to do that. And, you know, some of the worst things that ever happen in life is what people do to other people. You know, it's not just life on life's terms. There's some people out there that want you to live on their terms, and maybe they're not always what they claim to be. It's important to understand. But the number two thing is usually when I find that I am kind of in a rut, it's because I have allowed myself to get there. And so since I had the power to get in that rut, I had the power to get out of it. And so I want to encourage you as my friends and people that I love. And even if you don't love me, I love you. And I want good things to happen for you in your life. That's true. And I had a discussion just yesterday that one of the things that I have learned, and I thought Andy Biersack from the Black Veil Brides summed it up. I recently watched a podcast with him, and he's a guy that's in recovery. He's a great rocker and kind of true to the old 80s style. But he talked about, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have this internet negative persona. You know, it's like they want to be hateful. And the truth of the matter is, I don't think they really feel that way. I think it's basically an act to get attention. And it's an act to maybe find a friend. And that's kind of how Andy said it. He said, you know, it's like their band can be kind of polarizing. And he goes, you know, even the comments to this video, once it's posted, will reflect that. But there are a lot of people out there, it's like, hey, whether it's Taylor Swift or whatever, you know, Michael Jackson, you know, everybody loves it when the hero stumbles, right? And so somebody comes out there and says, I hate this. And they throw that line out there, and then somebody else comes along, oh, I hate it too. Well, now they've made a friend in their discourse, right? Guys, I'll be honest with you about this. There's a lot of music out there that I don't like, and you may like it. I'm not going to go run to their social media pages and say, I hate this. You know, I don't remember who said it, but years ago, they said that the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. Because even for the things you hate, there is a certain level of emotion. There's some truth in that. You know, the number one thing is when you treat people like they don't matter. When people are irrelevant to you. But when you go out there and you cast a line out there, and you see it all the time. And I had a discussion with some people just this week about that. I was like, you know, when I was young in my career, I remember, like, in the beginning, my first couple of articles from Gene's page, you know, it's like, you know, hey, so glad this is way back in, you know, the 90s. It's like, hey, you know, really like this, you know, Steve's a great addition to the site. Well, then the first time somebody disagreed with me, you know, and they did so kind of in a very, you know, negative way. It wasn't just like, hey, I disagree with the point. It's like, this guy didn't know anything, you know. And it hurt me so bad. It did. Because I thought, these are my own people. My own people? are being critical of me. I'm just trying to write about this. And then you begin to learn that not everybody thinks and feels the way that you do. But there's some people out there is like, this is what they live for. Like this is their internet persona is what's more important to them. And so there are some people that are constantly negative. And I respect their right to be negative. But I also respect my right to how often I want to interact with those people. You know, I mean, I think the mute function is one of the greatest gifts God's ever given us on Twitter. But it's, you know, even with the things that I've accomplished in my life, and I would put my Mississippi State writing resume up against anybody in the history of this university. And so if people are critical of me, I won't say that I am above all of that, because there are some days it does bother me. But the reality of it is that I've just kind of learned how to deal with it, you know. There are people out there that are never going to like me. And I'm going to tell you this about yourself. There are going to be people that never like you, and they may not have a good reason at all. You can't win them all over, you know. And the thing that I have learned about life is that people that don't have haters are people that typically haven't stood up for anything. You know, and so once you stand up, and I remember a great story Scott Kennedy told me years ago. And I remember, like, I would go to the Arkansas board, or I'd go to the Auburn board. This is back when I worked for Scout.com and Fox Sports. And so I'd go over there and say, hey, I just interviewed so-and-so. I think Arkansas is in good shape. And so everybody loves you. Like, when you go over to those boards, you're the good news guy, right? Every time Steve shows up over here, he's telling us, hey, we're in the top three for this kid, or he thinks this kid may come here. Well, then when I started breaking down film and doing evaluations, then all of a sudden I was an idiot. And again, that kind of stung. And that's one thing Scott told me. He goes, yeah, everybody loves the good news guy. Nobody likes the evaluation guy. Because everybody wants to think their players are the best. Everybody wants to think they want this delusion that it's all popcorn and rainbows. But the reality of it is it's not. And so I share that with you because, again, I've had some interactions with some people this week and kind of talked about some of that similar stuff. And that's just kind of how I handle it. You know, you got to understand, if you're going to live life in the public eye, you're going to put yourself out there to be judged. And if you don't want to do that, if you don't want to deal with critics and you don't want to deal with people that are going to have a hot take, they may not even read your article. You know, they're just going to say what they're going to say, you know. And I respect their right to say it. But the reality of it is that I just don't spend my time worrying about that stuff. I just kind of keep doing what I'm doing. We talk about majoring in major things. I focus on the people that are going to matter to me. I focus on my listeners. I focus on my Twitter followers. I focus on my subscribers to Gene's page. More importantly, I focus on my family. And I focus on the needs that I have and the things that I want to accomplish in life. And I hope that you'll do the same. So come float with us too. I had a great float earlier this week. It's a great, great way for me to kind of manage my anxiety and kind of deal with the stress and all the triggers in life and things like that. And we've got a lot of people that have chronic pain that come be a part of that with us. And had some Boneyard listeners in just yesterday. We've had several. And I'm just telling you, I'm inviting you personally. And I'm there sometimes. That's usually Dana. But I'm there sometimes. I got to kind of handle the house and the dogs and run the website, you know. But you can call her at 662-268-7601, 662-268-7601. I encourage you to come float. It's been a game changer for me. I'm a lot more chill these days. Not as much bothers me. And when I do get involved in it, I don't get as caught up in the heat of the moment. When I say something, I mean it. That's always been the case. But I love floating, and I think you will too. I floated one time, bought a franchise. And we wanted to make Starkville a better place. And that's one of the things too. And I'm going to say this, and this may come across a little bit narcissistic, and that's fine. I don't really care. Call them what you want. But when we got ready to kind of sign a deal with True Rest, they were trying to push us to do it in Tupelo. And then they were like, well, if we can't do Tupelo, can we do Columbus? And I was like, no. We're either going to do it in Starkville or we're not going to do it. Because I want Starkville to be a better place. This is where I live. I want to contribute to our community. I want to contribute to our economy. I want to contribute to the lives of the people that love Starkville, Mississippi. And no, I'm not running for mayor, but it probably would be a little more busy in Tupelo. And we're busy now. You know, I think we did 13, 14 floaters yesterday, you know, on a Thursday. But we might do better in Tupelo, but we don't live in Tupelo. And I've got a lot of friends in Tupelo, and I love them. And eventually, if we expand, we may go to Tupelo. But we wanted the First True Rest to be right here in Starkville, Mississippi. We wanted to add something of value. And so if you love Starkville, come float with us, even if you don't have anything wrong. I mean, if you just need a time to relax, we can help you with that. So come see us at True Rest of Starkville. Let me get out of here. I've kind of belabored the point along more than I wanted to. But I will see you guys on the other side of the weekend. And again, it'll be game week for some teams around the country. We look forward to that. But until next time, it's all of our lives. In a way, we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.